Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So we are in the middle of looking at the last book of Psalms, book 5. Book 5 has been really interesting, and it's about a people who has been exiled from their homeland, right? People who have been exiled from their homeland, but they have been rescued, they have been redeemed, and now they are returning back to their homeland, right? And last week we saw in Psalm 110, the key person that all of Book 5 rests on. And that was someone who was promised from long ago to rescue and to redeem Israel. And in Psalm 110, David gives us hints of who this person would be, right? We discovered that every part of David's prophecy pointed to one person. That was the person called the Messiah, the Anointed One, is what it means in Hebrew. It is a name, the word Messiah is interesting because it's a name that points to the custom of Israel where the Messiah, the Anointed One, and this Anointed One is describing the practice that Israel had when it was revealed God's special chosen person for a specific role, like a prophet or a priest or a king. And they would anoint that person as a sign that this was one whom God had chosen for a specific role. The Messiah was, like, you know, they, it was interesting. They did that with David. Elijah anointed Elisha as prophet in the same way. There were a couple of other people, like priests who were anointed. But the anointed Messiah would be like on a whole different level. He was going to be one who was much greater than a prophet or just a priest or a king. He was promised by God to be the one chosen to deliver Israel and set up a kingdom that would never end. And this Messiah didn't just fulfill David's prophecies. He fulfilled prophecies from those who were before and after David. And all of these prophecies pointed to one person, Jesus, the very one that we are about ready to celebrate his birth of. In fact, here's an interesting thing. Jesus Christ, the word Christ, is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One. And so Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, is the one that we saw was the who of Psalms, the Anointed One. So of last section, Psalm 110, we saw who the Messiah was. The next section in Book 5 is going to show us why the Messiah's coming is so important. And last week we looked at what God speaking to the Messiah, God speaking to his son, the Anointed One, and we saw how he revealed him through that way. And today we're going to be looking at somebody who was rescued, speaking to God, his rescuer. And we're going to see through this an amazing picture of how God helps, not only help those in Israel thousands of years ago, but also how Jesus Christ, our Messiah, the Messiah, helps us even now today. So, we're going to see all of these through Psalm 116. This is the psalm we're going to be looking at, Psalm 116. And the conversation of this man speaking, this rescued one speaking to his rescuer, starts in this way. It's an interesting way to start. It says in verse 1 this. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord. I love that. It just starts out, man, I love God. He's just awesome. I love that. That's amazing. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord. It's an interesting context of the relationship between man and God, isn't it? If we think about it, oftentimes you hear people say, I believe in God or I trust God. But the word I love the Lord is very unique because it stands out. It's more than just someone. When we say, I believe in God or I trust in God, it describes like this. You go to God and you trust that He's going to hear your prayer when you call to Him. Like when you have a problem, you go to Him. But I love God describes something a little bit deeper than just a person who will sometimes hear and answer your prayers. It describes a relationship. And that relationship is actually really interesting, that I love God describes, when we say I love so-and-so, it usually points to a relationship that's been growing deeper and deeper over time, right? Kind of like a child who is loved by mom and dad, and they see the love that mom and dad give them, and then every once in a while they'll just come up and say, man, I love you, dad, or man, I love you, mom, you're the best, you know, that kind of thing, right? It's that relationship that gets built and built over time, and as a child knows that his parents love him, he responds in love to them too. And this is what we're getting ready to see in this relationship between this man and God, his rescuer. We're going to see why he loves God by looking at how this relationship unfolds. And in the rest of verse 1, it's interesting because he describes their relationship in how God listens to him. This is one of the ways he responds to their relationship. He describes it as, God, I love God. And one of the reasons I love God is because he has heard my voice and my supplications. I love God because he listens to me. I love God because he listens to me. Stop for a minute. Think about this. Notice how he loves God as a response to what God does for him. Sometimes it's easy to get this turned around. Sometimes it's easy for us to think, I want God to listen to me, so I better show him how much I love him. And that context of it is if I follow his commands, if I obey him, the more I obey him, the more he will choose to listen to me. We get this like flipped around a little bit as God's response to listening to me is based on how much I show him I love him. And yet this is showing us, I love the Lord flipped around. I love God because he listens to me and he hears me. God's love is not a response toward us, because God has always loved us. We love as a response to his love. And that's exactly what 1 John 4:19 says. We love him because he first loved us. Our love is a response to his love. He's always loved us. He's always loved us, and for that we can thank him. So that's what this person is saying. When I call to you, God, you listen to me, not because of anything I am or anything that I do, but only because of your great love for me when I call out to you. And that's just amazing. Think about this. The creator, the ruler of all things, for some amazing reason, chooses to hear you and me. Like, personally, he listens to you. What's even more amazing is how God listens to us. Verse 2 says this. Psalm 116:2 says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. This, because he has inclined his ear to me, I love this phrase. It basically means that he bends down to listen to what I have to say. It's like a dad. He's working away in his office, working, and his two-year-old son comes in with something incredibly important to tell his dad, and dad stops his work, and he kind of bends down and listens to his son and says, what you got, buddy? And the little boy, 2 years, man, I had cereal for breakfast, and it tasted good, you know, that kind of thing. And dad's like, oh, that's amazing, man. And so he goes back and plays for a little bit, comes back, and this dad, I got to tell you something. Of course, dad is in the middle of work, but he stops and he listens down. What you got, buddy? And he listens down. He bends down his ear and listens. He stops his work to hear the important thing his two-year-old says. You know what's going to happen? That two-year-old boy, as long as his dad stops and keeps listening to him, will continue to talk to his dad and talk to his mom because he knows that dad will listen. Because he knows that mom will listen. And this is what he's talking about. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I know that God listens to me, and so I will keep calling on him as long as I live. That is exactly how this person responds. When I am in trouble, when I need something, he is the one that I'm going to go to because I know he will listen to me. And this is a relationship that is built on trust and on confidence. Just as God listened to the psalmist, so also God listens to us. He bends down his ear to hear us too. 1 John 5 says it this way in verses 13 and 14. I love this. This verse is so amazing. I just kind of chewed on this verse because it was so good. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's interesting, he's saying, I'm writing this to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, and I'm writing this so that you can know that you have eternal life, and so that it will help you believe on the name of the Son of God. It's like, I know you believe in him, but this, I'm saying this to you so it'll help you to know what you have in Jesus, to help you to know who Jesus is to you. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. He bends down his ear and listens to what we have to say. This is the confidence we have in the relationship that grows because we belong to the Messiah. One of the reasons the psalmist is so confident in God, his rescuer, is because of what God rescued him from. Not only does God love him, not only does God hear him, but also it talks about what God has rescued him from. Verse 3 says this in Psalm 116, the sorrows of death compassed me, surrounded me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Here is a man who was in exile, captured by the enemy. The ropes of death had tightly wrapped around him, and there was nothing he could do to break free from its grasp. He was surrounded by the terror of death, and there was no escape. There was no way out. There was nothing he could do to break free from its grasp. As much as he tried to find a way out, the only thing he found was trouble and sorrow. And there was only one thing he could do. All he could do was cry for help. And so he did. Verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Here is a man who is crying out, God, please help me. And he wasn't just calling out for anyone. Notice this. He wasn't calling out, hey, anybody there? Can anybody help me? He specifically cries out to God. This was not a general cry for help and God happened to be nearby to hear his cry. He was crying to God himself because only God could pull him out of his situation. Only God could overcome the enemy to rescue him. And so he cried out to God. God, I need you. I need you to help me. Please save me. It's interesting that his cry was simple and to the point. It wasn't like a, it wasn't like this fancy cry for help, right? Have you ever noticed that usually like real cries for help aren't that fancy? This is really interesting, right? Usually when somebody's crying for help, they cry it out simply. You know, you don't ever hear of somebody like a rescuer, you know, coming in to the, you know, coming over to helping the guy. And he's like, you know, I would love to help you, but I really just, it'd be nice if you put a little bit more effort into your cry, you know, kind of throw in, like, help me to understand how badly you need help by like throwing in some extra words to kind of more deeply help me to understand how you're feeling right now. And then once you really get it down, then I'll come help you. People don't do that, right? That's not normal. Why would it be any different for God? The simple cry for help is plenty for God's ears to come and rescue, especially when we think about who God is, what kind of person God is. Look at verse 5, because it tells us. Verse 5 says, gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord. He is kind. He is loving. He is righteous. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Everything he does is just and good. Yea, our God is merciful. He is merciful. His compassion for me is great. And this God, who is kind, who is loving, who everything he does is just and good, and his compassion toward me is great. When I cry out simply to him, God, help me, he hears my prayer and he hears my cry. And so the man describes his testimony. He gives his testimony in this way. In verse 6, Psalm 116, verse 6, he says, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. I love this. When I was brought low, I was facing death. There was no way out. I cried to God to help me, and he came to me. The truth is that this love for those who need rescue, this love for those who need help, is the very reason that Jesus came to us. The reason we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the one chosen by God, was because God, in his great love for us, came to us to rescue us. John 3:16 says it beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what Jesus has done for us. Go back to Psalm 116, verse 6, because there's an interesting phrase there that I don't want us to miss. Psalm 116, 6 says, the Lord preserveth the simple. This is interesting. The Lord preserveth the simple. And it's interesting for two reasons. I love how he uses the word simple. The Lord preserves the simple. And there's two reasons I like it. First, there are many times that we do things that we get into trouble without realizing what we're doing. This word simple is describing someone who is simple. Basically, they're not paying attention. They're doing things that they ought not to do, but they're not realizing that they're doing it. A lot of times kids do that, don't they? You, like little children, they go and do things without thinking, and then their parents rescue them from it. You know, they start sticking their fingers into electric sockets, and oh, this should be interesting. Or they start running out into the street to catch a ball, not realizing the dangers of cars coming by. And so parents come and quickly rescue them. But what's interesting is oftentimes that habit of doing things without thinking continues with us as adults. The way we do those things may be different. We may do them in different ways, but we often even do things that cause sorrow to God himself, that yet he loves us, and we cause him pain, and or we cause him sorrow because of the things we do, our own self-centered way of living, our own self-desires, and our own sinful ways. And in doing so, we cause God sorrow. And yet even then, he loves us and offers rescue to us. The second reason I like this phrase is because when it says the Lord preserveth the simple. It reminds me that not just as it's okay for my cry for help to be simple, it's also okay for me to call out in simple faith. See, when he calls for help, he did not have to know all the aspects of how God was going to help him. He didn't have to know the plan in intricate detail. He didn't have to sit down with God and say, okay, God, how are we going to do this? What you going to do? Let me know what I'm supposed to do, and I'll kind of make sure that you know what you're doing and I know what we're doing. We'll work this out and it'll be great. He didn't have to know the whole rescue plan. He didn't have to fully understand it. He just simply needed to understand that God had the plan already figured out. And that's true for you and me. You don't have to know everything about what it means for Jesus to die on the cross, for the ways we've caused sorrow, caused him sorrow and how we live. You don't have to understand all the intricate details. I mean, when a child puts his faith in Christ, he doesn't know everything, and that's okay. He just knows that God knows everything. And this is the way we should come to him in faith. You don't have to know everything about how he is going to help you, how he's going to rescue you, how he hears you, and how he's going to respond to that. You don't have to know it all, and that's okay. Simple faith and trust in God is good enough because he is the one who has the plan all figured out. He is the one who will rescue you. So when he reaches out his hand to say, hey, trust me on this, trust him on it. Like, reach out and take his hand because we know from the past that he is trustworthy. This is helpful for us not only in the beginning of our walk of faith, but also as we continue in our walk of faith. You don't have to know everything. Just trust that God knows everything. So what happens when you take his hand in trust? What happens when you trust in him? Even if it's simple trust, what do you do? Verses 7 and 8 say it this way. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. I love that. I love that. Rest. Soul, take a break. Take it easy. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Soul, you can rest now. Whatever happens from now on, you can rest knowing that you are in God's hands. There's something interesting about God's rescue is that he didn't just rescue him and then just leave. He didn't just rescue and then just leave. If you look at verse 8, it says this, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. God not only rescued me from death, he has also comforted my heart so that my tears now stop. And he sustains me even now to keep my feet from falling. This is the care and love of his rescuer. He rescues and then he stays with us. He is always there for us. This is interesting because this is why the first phrase in Psalm 116, I love you, God, makes so much sense. It isn't just a one rescue. Oh, thank you, God, you're the man. And then that's it. It's an I love you. It describes a relationship that continues to be building and growing and growing. He says, I love you, God, because he comes to where we are and then he stays with us even after the rescue. And this is true for us. This is why we can tell our souls, rest. Because of the one who rescues you, he stays with you. Verse 28, or Matthew 11, Jesus says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's time spending with God, with Jesus. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And this is interesting. It describes how Jesus, the creator of all things, the Messiah, the promised one, the one who will rule nations, comes to where we are, lowly and meek. He is with us. He makes our burden light because he is the one who comes to where we are and stays with us. And when he does that, ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is why we respond, I love you, God. It is a relationship that while it starts with faith, it continues to grow because Jesus walks with us. And it is because of him that we find rest for our souls. And so the psalmist responds this way in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Knowing that he is with me, knowing that I have been rescued from death, I will walk before him, confident that just as he has helped me in saving me, he will also help me as I walk in this new life that he has given me. This is our confidence. We can walk before the Lord knowing that he is right there with us every step of the way. This is exactly what he does. He walks with us and he guides us and he lightens our path so that we can walk confidently before him. John 8:12 says it this way. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So I will walk in the land of the living as one who has been guided and helped by the one who gives me light to take each step of the way. This is your Redeemer. This is your Messiah, the chosen one. This is the one who came to rescue you. The question is, will you trust him? That's the question. For those of us who have put our faith in him, this is also true for us, even here and now, as you walk each day of your life. Will you continue to trust God? Is your heart's response, man, I really love God. He is just so good to me. Is that how you respond? Is that how you feel in your heart of hearts? Or have you forgotten his goodness to you? And are you walking on a path of drudgery because you've forgotten how good God is? Put your eyes back on your Redeemer. Trust in him. See how good and how faithful he is. And as you grow and grow in seeing his goodness, so also we will grow in our response of love. Man, God is good. Man, I love God. He's so amazing. And that's what our walk here on earth should be like, shouldn't it? As we grow more and more in confidence in his goodness and his care and his righteousness and his mercy toward us. I hope that's so true for you. If you have not yet put Jesus as your, have trusted Jesus as your Savior, know that he has come. He is literally the anointed one, the one chosen to come. He became the one who came to you to rescue you and to save you and to give you life. If you will trust him, that is his requirement, that you trust him. As he reaches out his hand to you to offer you rescue, it's your job to take his hand in simple faith, to just call out to him, God, I need this, Jesus, I need you to rescue me. And it's in simple faith. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know that Jesus died for you, and that he rose again 3 days later to give you life. And then you just trust him in that. And as you trust him, you get to enjoy the journey of knowing more and more of what his rescue plan actually looks like and all the ways in which he has cared for you. It starts with a call of simple trust. And if you do that, he will rescue you, redeem you, give you eternal life in heaven, walk with you here on earth day in and day out as you go through life. And in so doing, you will see what an amazing relationship Jesus gives you as your Redeemer. And you too will call out, man, Jesus, I love you. You're amazing. I hope you get to enjoy that same response that countless of others have just had before you as well. And I hope that is your response too. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the ways in which you have shown us your love, your willingness to come to where we are to rescue us where we're at, and in so doing, offer us a relationship of all relationships that we get to have a relationship with God Almighty. For that, we thank you. Jesus' name. Amen.